to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. With us today, Matt Szafranski, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of the Reminder newspaper. Welcome to you both.
Hello. Thank you.
Massachusetts U.S. Senator Elizabeth Warren says after the November 6th general election, she'll take a hard look at running for president in 2020. Warren made that proclamation during a recent town hall in Holyoke. The Democrat is running for re-election to the Senate next month. So, Matt, in the midst of this election, where Warren is facing a challenge from Republican Jeff Deal, Warren admits she's at least thinking about running for president. What do you think about the timing of this?
Well, I mean, I think part of it is strategic, but I also think part of it is because she just keeps getting the question, and she's not going to stop getting the question. I mean, and short of saying outright, no, I'm not interested in doing it, she's going to keep getting the question. And even then, I mean, look what happened in 2016. And it's to her advantage, even if she doesn't really plan on doing it, to keep that idea out there because it helps her maintain profile and flex muscles nationally.
Mike Deal says Warren should drop out of the Senate race to focus on running for president, saying her attention is not on Massachusetts. If she does decide to run for the White House while remaining in the Senate, could it come at the expense of the people that she's representing?
I would tend not to think so. This is pretty typical politics. You're in elected office. You're seeking a higher elective office. Naturally, you want to use the office that you currently have to your advantage for leverage. Rep Deal, I'm sure, would absolutely love if Elizabeth Warren lost her mind and resigned from the Senate, because, frankly, that's the only way he's going to make it to the Senate himself. I have to admit a certain amount of fatigue from Mr. Deal. I get press releases from him every day, and every day it says that he's got a huge announcement. I don't know how many huge announcements are left in his campaign as we head toward November, but he's trying really hard, almost too hard.
Mike, assuming Warren is reelected, what about missing votes and other Senate business while she's on the campaign trail?
Well, again, I think we'd have to take a look at this case by case, because not everybody who does this necessarily winds up being a slacker in the position that they have. I think it's sort of premature to assign negative qualities to her at this point.
Matt?
I would agree. I mean, you look at the, you know, only in 2008, you know, you had two U.S. senators who were three U.S. senators, if you count John McCain as well, who were running for a significant amount of time throughout 2008. And yes, they did miss some votes, but I'm not sure many of them were particularly decisive. And also, you see this in terms of re-election. A lot of people who are running for re-election right now, U.S. senators, are all sitting around waiting for this Kavanaugh thing to pan out, and they're not on the campaign trail. So it's a balance that you just have to strike.
Meanwhile, this week, an independent Massachusetts healthcare watchdog agency came out with a report on a ballot initiative, Question 1, which would require nurse-to-patient ratios. The Health Policy Commission says that would force hospitals to boost hiring and wages and increase health costs by up to $950 million a year. Mike, what about the idea of a state commission chiming in on a ballot question?
I think it's a little bit unusual, but the point is this question is a very convoluted, difficult question. Just go to the Secretary of State's website to take a look at the official synopsis of the question. This is not an easy thing, because it's not involving every nurse in a hospital. It's involving nurses who are serving in various departments, various disciplines. I think the electorate is going to be very confused about all this. Heaven only knows, I've sat reading through the press releases that I received. I've sat reading through other material, and it is a very difficult thing to come up with a yes or no to.
Matt, there's a lot of numbers flying around out there. Could that stand to confuse voters?
I think people, to the extent that they understand that this vote are going to vote on very simple ideas. We want more nurses. We don't think the government should be telling you how many nurses to have. You know, I think that's really what it's going to come down to, individual voters. And to a certain extent, I'm not sure the details will matter as much, because I think the legislature is going to revise it afterwards one way or the other.
Also this week, a federal judge issued a setback to a planned casino in East Windsor, Connecticut. The owners of Foxwoods and Mohegan Sun are looking to build this just mere miles from downtown Springfield, where MGM, of course, opened its own casino in August. The Department of the Interior has not acted on the deal between the Mashantucket Pequot tribe and the state, and the judge would not compel the feds to do anything about it. Matt, should the two tribes involved, and the state for that matter, be concerned about all of this?
You know, I'm not really sure yet. I mean, I think that there's definitely going to be an appeal. bill. It's also possible that the state could revise some of the, in early next year, revise the law that requires the federal approval before they can move forward. It's not exactly clear that this is something that's necessary for the casino to happen at all. It's kind of a quirk in the state law allowing the East Windsor site to happen.
Mike, from MGM Springfield's perspective, the fact that they've opened before this rival casino has even been approved, let alone built, how much could that help them grow their customer base and get a foothold?
I really think that this East Windsor facility, as it was certainly described in an event that I covered, it's basically slots in the box. It's basically a very simple building with as many slot machines as they can push into it. So here's the question. If you're interested in having a resort casino destination, and the difference is slots in the box versus a nearly $1 billion casino in downtown Springfield, wouldn't you drive the extra 15 minutes?
And finally this week, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker was in Springfield to announce $2.5 million in state funding to help renovate the shuttered Paramount Theater in the city's downtown. The $41 million project would restore the theater and add a hotel. Since the New England Farm Workers Council bought the property in 2011, the project has faced multiple starts and stops. Mike, you were at this announcement. Could this project, that it also has a federal loan guarantee of $4 million, finally be getting off the ground this time?
Let's hope they take the state money and they put a new roof on the building, because the building is suffering from water damage. And every additional day, every additional week that you've got water pouring through the ceiling is going to make this a much more expensive proposition. You know, I interviewed Mr. Flores before the press conference. He said it was going to be about $25 million. And then in the press conference, they said it was $41 million. I asked him, where was the money coming from? He said, we're working on it. There's a lot of variables here that I think are too soon to tell exactly what's going to happen.
Matt, I'll give you the last word on this.
Well, I think the big question is, where is the money going to come from to make this happen? I mean, I'm all for government investment in these projects, especially for the arts. But at the end of the day, you're going to need private investment of some kind, whether it's loans or partners or whatever, that's going to make this off the ground. Because the way that you're going to redevelop the downtown area is to make it a viable business venture, not just to those people who can get grants, but to anybody who's willing to put up the money and the elbow grease to put up to have a good idea.
All right, Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Mike Dobbs, managing editor of The Reminder. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, our loyal listeners of The Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. And remember, you can catch us at any time, wherever you get your podcasts, or at nepr.net/podcast hub. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.